You know, I thought about coming up here, and I was thinking, what a beautiful island. The trees are so beautiful. And I was thinking, thank you, Lord, for your creation. And it's how great that creation is. He created us above that. He created us, so how great we are because he created us. Not that we're great in ourselves, but we're great because he created us. And you know what? If we have Jesus, we have the fire. So it's a real thing when I say fire in the house. Praise the Lord. When we were singing that song, I was reminded when I was baptized. Well, I can't remember how old I was. I was an adult. I had kids. And they asked me, do you have anything to say? And all that came to my mind was, I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I see. And so I feel so thankful that he takes us and he allows us to see. He finds us so we can find him. And I was thinking about the Lord, his greatness, his majesty, his beauty, his splendor. And I was thinking, God, make me more thankful. Make me more thankful, Lord, to be a Christian. It's an honor and a privilege to serve him, to be friends with him, to know him, to have him as our own. And you know, if he's not for everyone, he's not for anyone, but he's for everyone. You're in when you call on the name of Jesus. It's not like high school or some exclusive club that you are excluded. Once you're in, you're in. Nothing can snatch you from the Father's hand. And so we have joy. We have joy and we have peace. Now, I was thinking of a few things. I'll speak of something I thought of in the prayer room I forgot to say, but because I couldn't remember what it was, so thank you for the Word of God. But let's turn to Psalm 126. This is just something I got at the spur of the moment as we prayed before the service. I thought of the vineyard, and praise God I thought of the vineyard because it's where I am today. Okay, Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now I know this is talking about the Jews coming back, or after they were in captivity, I think 70 years in Babylon. I know what that's mean, but I was thinking for the vineyard, I was thinking for the people of God, I was thinking for myself. I was thinking how the Lord is the Lord of the harvest. And as the people come in and as we get to know more of who we are, there is a great joy and a great expectancy. Have you ever had a fight with your family, but then when the company comes, you stop? Because the company's here. It's like that in the harvest. When the people come in, we stop and we're joyful. It doesn't matter because the King is being exalted. The King is lifted high. Jesus is lifted high. If his name be lifted high, he will draw all men unto himself. Hallelujah. I also thought of that scripture, and then I found it in the Bible. Praise God, it was here. Psalm 68:11. I said it in the prayer room, but I thought of it. When I looked in the scripture, I thought, wow, I said it right. Praise God, I know the word. Psalm 68:11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. The Lord gives the word. And great is the company of those who proclaim it. He's the Lord of hosts. And he causes to be raised up. The devil always takes something and wants to make it into nothing. But God takes the nothing of our lives and he makes it into something for his glory. For his glory. For his name's sake. For his power. For his kingdom to be advanced. And so today I thought I would speak on something that I need. And hopefully somebody else is with me. And it's called faith. I was thinking of faith. Yes, Have you got faith, brother? Have you got faith, sister? You hear about it, but we need it to continue on. Last time I was here, I had a vision. I think it was a night service in his presence, and we were in worship, and I had a vision of this person walking, and they were so down, they almost couldn't make it another step. And I've been thinking about that vision. They were exhausted. They were tired. Things had happened, and then they could barely make it. But we're not people like that. We're people who continue on. Why? Because Jesus is ever being refreshed in us. We need faith. We need refreshing. I need it. Is there someone else out there with me? Praise God, I have believers in the house. Okay, let's turn. Well, wait, before we turn, we're going to talk about something. We're going to talk about faith. Lots of people, including me, believe in God. Okay, we all believe in God. But then we got to check ourselves. Do we believe in what he says? I've met so many, I believe in God, and then you kind of hear what they believe, and it's all wacky, man. I thought, wow, this is not quite the same God I've met, but okay, bless you, brother, and then I leave. I pray for truth for them, you know? So lots of people believe in God, but we go one step further. We believe in what he says. We believe in what he says. So we don't only believe in what he says. We believe in what he says. So James, come here. I just want to give an example of that. So this is James. Everybody can see James. Everybody believes that James exists. He's here. Okay, but not everybody knows James. So not everybody's going to believe in 100% of what he says. He could say all kinds of things to you. But because you don't know him, you're not really going to believe in what he says. I believe we got to know, this is going to be God, we got to know God, and then we have to believe in what God says. See, we can't just believe God exists and he's for us. We got to know what he says so we can believe him. Thank you, James. And I was thinking about, so many people believe God exists. But we got to believe everything he says. All right, let's turn to Psalm 18. Now, this is a psalm of David. I believe David believed God, and I believe when God spoke to David, he believed it. And I believe even in the most turmoil times of David's life, what did he say one time? Don't let me go into the hands of men, but let me go into the hands of God. You know why? Because he knew God. He believed God. He heard God. And so I was thinking, who is God in our lives? You know, I was starting to get complicated trying to figure things out, and I thought, hold on here. I'm going back to the simplicity of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he does, who he says he is. I'm going back to believing the simple things of the gospel. I'm going back to believe the simple things of the Bible, the simple truths. I can understand the simple truths. I can build on the simple truths. And I can live in the simple truths. I don't got to know everything, but I got to know the simple truth that I'm saved and God is for me. I got to know the simple truth that I can carry on, that there's hope for me. I got to know the simple truth that he's called me, that he's anointed me. I got to know the simple truth that he has a destiny and he has a purpose for me. I got to know the simple truth that he's with me every day and he sees and he's a deliverer. He hasn't turned his back. He hasn't rejected me. People of God, we got to know these simple truths. They're simple truths, but we got to build on them to know him more. And everything he brings us into is easy to understand. Okay, let's look at David. Now, just in 1 and 2, we're not going to go through the whole psalm, but I just want to show you how God was showing himself strong and how David knew him. Now, verse 1, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. So David is saying God is his strength. How many people here, come on, let's have some fun today, Barry's away. He won't know if you put up your hand. There's no cameras. Okay, how many people here have been through something where God has been their strength? Whew, I'm in a house of believers. Fire in the house. God is our strength. When you go through something, you know it. David says in the first verse, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. It's personal. See, you know, recently I just went through something that gave my just a head up. Woo! And I thought, the first thing that came to my mind is, wow, my testimony is getting greater and greater. Now, as the days went on, I rehearsed that thing. But hey, when things happen, we have a personal relationship with God where he can be our strength. It's getting personal today. Okay, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is who? Now, right now, verse 2, he says, my rock. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is your rock. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is your strength. Right away, who he is? He's my rock and he's my strength. This will be tested, people of God. A chance for more joy. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Don't you appreciate God as a deliverer? Who is here has been delivered from something and gives God the glory? Woo! Fire in the house! People of God, we have a great testimony. My God, my strength, in whom I trust. He's saying again, it's his strength. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I don't know, a few years back, nobody here. A few years back, everybody was had a discerning of spirits for everybody's stronghold. Oh, yeah. But guess what? We're in the stronghold of the Lord. See, you know who David's stronghold was? God. We're in the stronghold of the Lord. Let's flip it around. We're in the stronghold of God. God is protecting us. He's delivered us. He's giving us strength. He's giving us joy. I'm going back to the simple things. How great God is. Not how great everything I've gone through is. See, that's what the enemy likes to do. He likes to flip-flop with your mind. But I thought, hold on here. I'm tired of fighting. Either God, you're God and you're strong and you're a deliverer and you're for me, or you're not. I just talked back to God. And then I cried a bit. I sowed those tears. So I'm coming out laughing. Do we have any laughers in the house? One. Thank you, brother. I'll laugh with you later. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Let's go to verse 16. He sent me from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. NIV says a spacious place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I love to delight in the Lord. But guess what? God delights in us. He delights in us. He delights in his people. When we live and give honor and glory and praise his name, he delights in us. When we're down, he's still delighting as that we are his children. I'm in the club. I can't be taken out. I can't be excluded from the one who gave his life for me. When I said I was once lost, but now I was found. When I received Jesus, I was taken out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light. And so was everybody here. We're in the same club. We're not outsiders. We're always on the in with Jesus. Now let's go to 28 and 29. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Where is there darkness in you? God will enlighten it with his light. If God shows you something, he will take care of it. That's why he's showing it to you. Another trick of the enemy is to make you feel condemned because you're not perfect. You won't be perfect. You'll never be perfect. Only God is perfect. And he delights in weakness because he makes it strong. My weakness can be turned to strength. Where is your weakness? Ask God to turn it into a strength. I have a weakness. So I'm asking God to turn it into a strength. And only he can. When will it happen? Well, you won't know because I'm not telling you my weakness. But every one of us has a weakness that can be turned to strength. Everyone. And maybe you got multiples. Woo, what a testimony of strength. What a testimony of joy. You see how great God is? For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For, I just got to read this. For by you I can run against a troop. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. I just see that as strength. Leaping over a wall. I just see that as strength. Coming against a troop. Just you and God. Strengthening you. I find it when you get victory over one battle, sometimes there's another one. Sometimes. Sometimes. But we're going to look at a scripture that says we're victorious. We're victors. So God is what? He's the Almighty. He's the Creator. He's the Deliverer. He's everlasting King. He's the faithful God. He's our fortress. He's our strength. He's our strong tower. And he's our stronghold. It's getting a little hard out there, so I'm going into the stronghold of God. He doesn't care if you're weak. That's the great thing about, he's not judging your weakness. He's saying, you know what? I see it. I'm going to make you strong in that area. See, sometimes we forget that. Not I could have had a V8. I should have got some scriptures. That's only if you know that commercial from a long time ago. Do I have any TV addicts in the house? No. Okay, let's continue on. Faith is what? Believing and trusting. Faith is always active. It is a commitment of both mind and heart. God wants us to have faith, and he wants us to be faithful. Full of faith. Faithful, full of faith. He's faithful. He can't disown himself. It's a done deal. He's given himself to you and to me. It's a done deal. But he wants us to be faithful. Now, I thought of this scripture. It's a bit of a warning, but let's just look at it. You know what I love about warnings? They're not judgments. They're saying, hey, this is a warning. Go the other way. Proverbs 20, verse 6. I'm reading out of the New King James today. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? You know what that was telling me? God is into faithfulness. It's part of who he is, and it's part of who he makes us to be. We're to be faithful to him. Are you dishonoring something? Well, then you're actually dishonoring the Lord. Are you sinning? Then you're sinning against God. It's not even about me and you. It's being faithful to what he tells us to do. It takes it off comparing. It's taking us into a deeper level of him and us and him. Faithful, true, steady, full of faith. God is faithful. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 9. Actually, let's start in verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge. Well, that's a good prayer right there. Lord, enrich us and the vineyard and everything by you in all utterance and all knowledge. We want to be enriched by Jesus. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. He's the one that calls us into fellowship with himself. He's the one that calls. We're the one that answers. He initiates. We just follow. Disciples, followers of Christ, learners of under discipline. Not giving up, not turning away, but continuing on, knowing that God is for you and he will never be disappointed with you because you are continuing on in him. It's time to break the back of condemnation over the people of God. We are not condemned. We are free, full of righteousness, full of grace, full of truth because of him. Our past sins, our present sins, our future sins will not separate us from the love of God. God loves us, and we are in him. Okay, let's look at this now. God is faithful, verse 9, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. Now, I looked up that word called because I can. It's got a little thing in my Bible. It was super easy. And it says the word called is to invite or to summon it is especially used of God's call to participate in the blessings of the kingdom. God is summoning the people of God. He's inviting us to what? To participate in the blessings of the kingdom. He doesn't just call without giving you something when you answer. Those that diligently seek the Lord will find him. That's a reward. If you seek him, you will find him when you seek him with your whole heart. If he hides himself, you seek him more because he wants to be found. His word is available to everyone. His presence is available to everyone. He who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not an inclusive club. We are inclusive in the kingdom, and because of Jesus, we're all in the same club. Sometimes religion wants to bring a hierarchy. Yes, there's certain callings. There's certain purposes. Everybody has different destinies, but it's all equally important in the kingdom of God. And you will be most fulfilled when you find out what yours is and you start to do it. If you, I'm not saying anybody here, but if you are jealous of another person's calling, you don't got peace, you don't got joy. You're not fulfilled. You're not happy. You feel like you're missing out on the blessing. You're not trusting God. You figure God just so lavished something on this person but has nothing for you. God is an equal opportunist. What he gives to one, he wants to give to all. Because he loves us. So I got to find out, what does God want for me? I want to do that because that is where I'm going to be most happy, most joyful, most feeling the presence, most understanding and wanting to know God more. Oh, God's so good. In the light of God's revelation to us, about how and when he is working, we are to trust him and live by faith. He's working. Sometimes I wonder, did he take a day off? No. Like somebody said, God's awake 24/7, so you might as well sleep and be at peace. You don't got to stay up and worry. God's up there, got it all under control. It says he'll work everything out for those that love him, who are called according to his purpose. What's his purpose for you? Find it. I find that another person can't confirm what your purpose is. Only God can tell you, because then you have an assurance in your heart of what you're called to do. We're all called to pray. We're all called to pray. It's not just the prayer warriors. We're all called to pray. And actually, praying is a lot of fun. I find praying to be quite fun. We're all called to study and read the word. We're all called to that. And you know, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking, I forgot how fun it is to just start digging in the word to prepare something. It's fun. It's a joy. It's great looking through scriptures and thinking about the Lord. It's wonderful. We're all called to do something for God, through God, and because of God. That's what I just love about him. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs said. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's where I think we get in trouble. We're leaning sometimes, I'm only speaking for myself, on my own understanding. Is there any leaners out there? No hands, but a lot of head shakes. Yeah. I leaned once or twice. Come on, we've all leaned on our own understanding. And a lot of times we're limited in our understanding because of two things. And actually, when you spoke of that song, I thought of what I was speaking today. So sometimes two things can limit us. Number one, the way you were raised. The way you were raised can sometimes limit your walk with the Lord. The way you were taught, the way you were brought up. And number two, your experiences in life. See, the Lord wants you to transform your mind, but the enemy wants you to bring down the word of God to your experiences, your life, what's happened to you, the way you were brought up. So, but God wants you to transform your mind. It says that in the Bible. Transform your mind. Actually, I'll read out the scripture so I get it right. It's in Romans 12. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the enemy always likes you to bring the word of God down to the natural. But we're to renew our mind in the Spirit through the word of God. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is in the word of God? He brings it to life to us. So we're to renew our mind. It doesn't matter what our experiences are. We're to renew our mind, bring us up to the word of God. We come up to the Word of God. We don't bring the Word of God to the way I was raised, the things that have happened to me, my problems. That's the enemy's plan, to bring the Word of God down. But we're to bring ourselves up to the Word of God. The Word of God says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Word of God said, I'm accepted in the Beloved. The Word of God says, nothing can snatch me out of the Father's hand. You know, I got saved through my daughter getting baptized, but it was years before I really, really had in my heart an assurance that I was saved. It was years. I always struggled. Am I really saved? I had a fear that I wasn't good enough to be saved, but Jesus died for one. He died for all. And I remember 10 after 11, I'm watching the time. I remember when I came to the Lord is because my grandma wanted my daughter to be baptized. She was 14 months, and my grandma said, Karen, you got to get that girl baptized, that baby baptized. Karen, you got, every time I went to visit her, she'd just say it really short. Karen, you got to get Justine baptized. And I was baptized. I wasn't brought up in the church. And my husband was baptized. I'm divorced now, but at the time I was married. My husband was baptized. So I said to my husband, I said, my grandma really wants me to get my daughter baptized. And I said, I was baptized as an Anglican. What were you? And he said, an Anglican. I said, well, let's just then go to an Anglican church and get her baptized. So I looked in under churches in the yellow pages. I had everybody looked at phone books then. And the first one was Anglican, A. So I phoned up the church, and a secretary says, oh, yes, you can meet with Father John. And so they called the priest father in that denomination at the time. So I went there, and he said, yes, I will baptize your daughter, but I'd like you to come to church first. I was like, what? Come to church first. I said, you know, I was taken off guard really by that. So I said, okay. So then I went home and I said, guess what, Brian? I phoned the church and I went down there to meet, and they called him Father. And I said, and they want us to come to church. And he said, what? And I said, isn't that bizarre? So we went into church and we were late. The church was packed, and the person at the door came and sat us at the very front row. And I thought, what is going on here? I just want to please my grandma. So we sat down in the front row, and I just began to weep inside so hard that by the time I left that service, I had a massive migraine. And I can't remember what was said. I remember things going down the aisle and blah, 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 going up, having communion. I didn't know what was going on. I just followed everyone, pretending like I'd been there 100 times. But all the while, in my mind, I was thinking, oh, if I could just stop. I got to stop this. I can't cry in public. I can't cry in public. And so I left there, and Brian said, what do you think of it? I said, I have no idea, but I have a massive migraine from stopping myself from crying, so let's just go home. So I went home, and we went the next week because the baptism wasn't for a little while. And, of course, we fought on the way like every good Christian couple does. And then when we got there, we smiled, and I said, I'm not sitting at the front, so let's be earlier. But we went in, and we kept going. I got my daughter baptized. I eventually received the Lord in the priest's office. And that's how I became to the Lord, trying to please my grandma. And I'm so thankful that the Lord used it that way, because I got to know there's people of God in every denomination. And, you know, you're responsible for what you know. It doesn't matter what they know. It matters what you know. And God has people in every denomination. I learned a lot when I was there. At some point when I went to that church, and I went to it for 5 years, I wanted to sleep in the pews. I thought if I could only sleep in the pews and wait for the next sermon. I didn't know but you could feed yourself at home. I just wanted to hear about God. I was hungry for the Lord. And the Lord used that. And we are at a place now, I'm thankful that we're saved. I got to go back remembering, I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful God is for me. God is really real. people. He wants to help his people. He wants to take the downtrodden. He wants to take the nothings. He wants to raise us up to newness in life. And yes, we may think we have come so far with the Lord, but people of God, there's more. Let's go back to the simplicity of the gospel. Let's go back to knowing how great God is in our lives. Let's go back to being thankful. Let's go back to wanting the fire. Why? For his name's sake. For his name's sake. For his glory, for his power. I'm thankful I can praise the Lord. I got a lot to praise the Lord for. Nobody's taking my praise because he's been good to me. He's been good to me and he's been good to you. He's not going to stop with his goodness. You know, I heard this person say, he's quite famous now. He said, if you could go back, they asked him a question. If you could go back to the beginning, is there something you would do differently? And he said, I would meditate more on the goodness of God. What are we thinking about? I've had to check myself recently. What am I really, really thinking about every day? What's going through my mind every day? Is it thinking on God? Is it thinking on his word? Is it thinking on his greatness? Is it thinking on his majesty? Is it thinking that I'm not rejected? Is it thinking that I'm called? Is it thinking that I'm invited? Am I thinking how the great God is? Not only in my life, but in his people's lives. He's great in everyone's lives. And I don't want to miss out on being able to show the goodness of God. We don't want to miss out, people of God. So the devil wants you to bring down the word of God to your experiences in life. But God wants us to bring our life into alignment with the word of God. You know, I was thinking about Peter when the disciples were leaving Jesus. He was teaching some things and they were like, oh, you know. And so everybody was deserting him. And Jesus looked at Peter and says, are you going to leave too? Like, are you going to go? Are you out of here? And Peter said, how can I go from you? For you hold the words of life. There's life in God that you can't get outside of God. You know, guess what? The unbeliever doesn't think the same of us. So if they're coming against you, it's because they're not thinking the same as you. But we have access to think differently. To soar over those things. Who wants to soar over problems so they don't even bother you? Yeah. Woo-hoo! Come on now. I'm with my people today. Okay, the final scripture is Romans 8. Can I call the worship team back up and I'll just say the final scripture and then if anybody needs prayer, want to pray for you, you can just start any time and I'll just keep talking. I can talk over the music, I can sing over it. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for slaughter. Yet in all these things, is there something in your life that hasn't been said there? Say it. And then say, yet in all these things, sorrow, broken trust, rejection, being overlooked, being left out, hurt, pain, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. And that word conqueror means, more than conquerors, means over and above. Super victorious, overpowering in abundant victory. winning more than an ordinary victory. We have the victory, more than an ordinary victory. Hopelessness can't stay. It must go because we're victorious over it. Discouragement. Where's my discouragers? Your hope is there for you. Come on, everybody's been discouraged at one point in their life. Maybe for a month, maybe for 15 years. It's time for you to be victorious because your king conquered it. And I serve the same king. Overabundant victory is yours, people of God. Superabounding, achieving victory is ours to take. It is ours to walk in. It is ours to show off, that all may see the glory and the strength of God in us. Whoo! Fire in the house! People of God, we serve a great God. Amen? He's wonderful. He's superior. He's majestic. And he calls each one of you his beloved. Ooh, nobody loves you. God loves you. Nobody cares. God cares. Nobody hears. God's listening. Nobody's speaking. God's saying, talk to me. He's a wonderful God. And he's our God. We're in the same club. Is there anybody that is not in the club of Jesus tonight? Or today, sorry. You guys would be falling asleep if I preached till tonight. She was good, but whew, she goes a long time. Is there anybody that says, I want to be in that club? Is there somebody here that wants to give their life to Jesus? Everybody here has received Jesus, is in the overcoming, over super victorious club. Everybody's in the club? Well, then hallelujah. Praise God. Well, as we lead out in a worship song, a praise song, whatever, if there's anybody here that needs prayer for anything, I'd like to pray for you. If not, go out about your day, but do one thing for me. Think about your king. Think about how great he is. Just throw up a thank you that I'm saved, that I'm in you. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus.